Have you ever had someone criticize you, but you know they've done worse things than you?
We have a special segment during today's program dedicated to anyone who is being judged by others for how they are living their life.
We also have music from Gisela Kroll, an encouraging message from Pastor John Bradshaw, and a health segment from our friends at Loma Linda.
Don't go anywhere.
Good morning and happy Wednesday, and welcome to a whole new episode of Wake Up With Hope.
Aren't you thankful for another day? Every day is a great day to right the wrongs of yesterday. There's a most amazing promise found in 1 John 1:9.
Oh, I love that promise. It says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen. That is so good. God promises that if we confess our sins, He will forgive us and cleanse us. We can be made new in Him.
That's awesome. I love that promise. It's an amazing promise. And today, it's an amazing day.
What day is it?
It's going to be one of my favorite days in the calendar. Today is National Bowtie Day.
No way.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And check it out. I wore a bow tie.
I love it.
Did you see it? It's made from leather. You like
that? Yes, it looks nice.
I got this in South Africa.
Really?
Oh, man. When I saw it, I said, I got to have that. So do you like bow ties? Well, today is your day. In fact, it's the perfect day. Mm-hmm. It's National Bowtie Day, so go for it.
And if you're looking for the perfect recipe to celebrate, we've got you covered. Coming up in just a few moments, our friends from Loma Linda will share an artichoke and aioli recipe. But first, let's begin by taking a look back at this day in history. On this day in history, in the year 1963, Martin Luther King Jr. delivered his I Have a Dream speech as approximately 250,000 people listened on while attending the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. Those participating included poor, rich, black, white, all classes of people came together at the Capitol of the United States to call for an end to racial discrimination and segregation and for equal opportunity for African Americans.
You know, King's commitment to nonviolent protest and love for all people echoed the teachings of Jesus. In fact, Jesus encourages us to love our enemies and to pursue peace and follow His example of love and kindness in our interactions with others. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, Jesus said, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." You know, when people wrong us or make us feel less than or unappreciated, Jesus has left us the perfect example of how to respond. When He was beaten, He was tortured, He was spat upon, and ultimately sacrificed. And what was His response? Love. That was it. He loved His enemies, even though He was beaten by them. He was reproached by them too. But He calls us to love above all else. And so, of course, this is impossible without His power. And God has promised that as we invite Him into our lives, into our hearts, He will transform us and fill us with this unconditional love for everyone around us. So, friends, today we challenge you to simply love. Love those who hate you. Love those who hurt you. See, love has that power to change people. And best of all, it's going to change you. It's going to change me as we love others. And we're going to be changed into the likeness of the one who is love Himself, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Jesus is the perfect example for us, isn't
Amen.
He?
Amen.
Artichokes and aioli. It's what's cooking today with our healthy friends at Loma Linda. Let's find out how to make this delicious dish.
If you haven't tried an artichoke, I encourage you to give this unique veggie a chance. They are so easy to prepare. You want to trim off the top and the tips of the leaves because they have tiny thorns and can be tricky to handle otherwise. When steaming your artichokes, make sure they are upside down so they don't fill up with water. When it's done, the outer leaves should pull away easily. Aioli is a flavored mayonnaise that goes great with steamed artichokes. We're making ours with lemon and garlic, but you can be creative. Artichokes are fun to eat, and the reward is when you get to the heart. To learn how, please refer to our Chef Tips section.
Have you ever had someone criticize you, but you know they've done far worse things than you? Well, let's tune in on today's episode of Masterstroke and discover an important lesson on this concept.
Domenico Fetti was an Italian painter. He specialized in the parables of Jesus. In fact, he painted 14 of them. The Mote and the Beam was painted in the year 1619. It's based on a story that has a pretty punchy point for you and I today. This is what Jesus said. Judge not, that you be not judged. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I find this work stark and compelling. The setting is outdoors. The colours are brown, even blending right into the sky. I think Fetti is creating a mood for the sombre importance of the message. It only has two characters, an old man and a young man. Both are pointing their fingers at each other, and the young man looks to be in the ascendancy. The massive beam in the heart of the painting just draws us in. And true to Fetti's style, he's made this painting very literal and dramatic. Fetti takes the story of Jesus and makes it so clear, it perfectly illustrates the very blunt point Jesus is making. A splinter or sawdust in your eye would be a lot easier to get out than a giant timber roof beam. So what's the key point Jesus is saying? There's nothing worse than a cold, critical, condemning attitude. Nothing. It's very easy to find fault in someone else. But the sins of pride and self-righteousness and self-sufficiency, they're massive big planks. They stop us seeing clearly. We can't see others clearly. We can't see God clearly. And we certainly can't see ourselves clearly. The message I take from this painting is to be humble, gracious, and do everything to build people up instead of tearing people down.
If you want to share the hope of Jesus with others, share us this program with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more.
And check out our YouTube channel. Simply search for Wake Up with Hope and subscribe to keep up with each one of our episodes.
We have to take a short break, but we will return. And when we do, we will have music and a morning devotional. Stay with us. Right now, we have doctor's orders.
Well, do you want the good news or the bad news?
Give me the good news, Doc.
So, if you don't stop drinking, start exercising and eating properly, they're going to have to name a disease after you.
Awesome! I always wanted to be famous.
Believe me, no one wants the pain and suffering that disease brings.
So what shall I do, Doc?
Well, remember we were talking about physical activity. Have you been exercising?
I'm exercising my right not to listen to you. Is that what you mean?
No. You know that exercise can add life to your years and years to your life.
I know you're right there, Doc, because I jogged 1 kilometer yesterday.
Yay!
And today I feel 90 years old. Exercise sure added years to my life.
Ah, but that's because you're a little unfit. If you keep at it, you're going to get fit and you will feel less uncomfortable.
Yeah, once I'm dead, I won't feel a thing. Is that what you mean?
No, what I mean is when we exercise, our brain releases morphine-like substances called endorphins. The more intense the exercise, the the more we get, and it gives us a sense of well-being physically, mentally, and emotionally. They call it a jogger's high.
Well, that sounds great, Doc, but I just don't feel like jogging is my thing.
Oh, don't worry. Endorphins can be released from any kind of activity, whether it's cycling, swimming, gardening, or walking.
Well, now that you mention it, I have been spending more time on the treadmill.
That's great.
Yep. I was so tired the other day, I just laid down on the treadmill and slept. It was a little bit hard, but it was great.
That doesn't count. You need to go outside and exercise. Nice try. The more, the better. And release those brain-friendly endorphins that give us an addiction to exercise. Doctor's orders.
You know, music is a powerful tool for praising God. It is also a wonderful gift from God Himself. Gisela Kroll joins us now as she sings the song, The More the Light Fades.
Searching.
If you are enjoying today's program like we are, please share it with your friends. Our website is hopetv.org/wakeup.
We now have to take a short break, but when we return, Pastor John Bradshaw from Innisfriend will share a thoughtful message from the Bible with us.
Welcome back to our morning program. How are you enjoying our program this morning? Send us a message on our official Wake Up With Hope Facebook page. Let us know.
This morning, John Bradshaw from Innisfriend is with us here today to share a reflective message from the Bible.
It is great to see you. I hope you're doing well today, that you recognize you're blessed. I'm not going to say I hope you're blessed. Of course you're blessed. You have a mind. Your heart is beating. You can, by faith, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You are blessed. And if there's some challenge or difficulty going on in your life, my heart is with you. And I hope you'll find solace and comfort and peace through Jesus and the assurance that God is with you. And the assurance that one day God is going to wipe away all tears from your eyes. That is the truth. So one day, Jesus came ashore and he was met by an hideous scene. A couple of men who were demon-possessed approached Jesus. When I say approached, I don't know that they approached, as perhaps ran at him with fury. Now, according to the Bible, these men were out of control. People had tried to restrain them with chains. They broke the chains. They bound them with fetters of some kind, and they broke those. They spent a lot of time living among tombs. Yuck. But that's what they did. They were demon-possessed. They weren't in their right mind. They spent their time naked. It just wasn't a good scene at all. And so Jesus cast the demons out of them. Interesting exchange. The demons said, when Jesus asked them their name, they said, "Our name is Legion, for we are many." Now, two men, and they called themselves Legion, the demons did. In a Roman legion, there were about 3,000 to 5,000 soldiers. Does this mean that these men were possessed with thousands of demons? I think it has to, right? I think it has to. They were fully given over to the power of the devil. Jesus cast the demons out, and they said, "Please allow us to enter into the swine." Now, it's a bit of a mystery as to why they wanted that, and Jesus said yes, but if Jesus hadn't said you can go into the pigs, they may have gone to the pigs and the people. They may have gone further and done greater damage. So Jesus was restraining them. At the same time, it may well have been that these were Jewish people who were tending to the pigs, and Jesus knew that they knew Jews shouldn't be herding swine, and so Jesus was going to remove that illicit livelihood from them, give them an opportunity to think again. They said, "Send us into the swine." Jesus said, "Go into the swine." 2,000 pigs, and they started running violently down a hillside, off a cliff, and into the water of the lake, and they drowned. They perished. I mean, think about that. It had to be an awful sight. 2,000 pigs. That's a lot of bacon. A lot. And one by one by one, or maybe, you know, hundreds and hundreds at once, they launched themselves off the cliff into the Sea of Galilee. They drowned. There would have been a terrible lot of squealing, and it would have been a hideous sight. So here's what happened. Here are a couple of men who were tyrannizing the area. People were scared of them. They lived among tombs. They wouldn't wear clothes. They were so strong that they broke their chains. And now the Bible says they were clothed and in their right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. This incredible work of transformation had been seen. I mean, I spoke to a guy the other day, great, fine man, suit and a shirt on, and I'd like to say he had well-combed hair, but he didn't because he was bald, but he had a well-shaved head, I guess we could say. He spoke respectfully, very respectable man. Then he showed me photographs of what he was like more than 20 years ago. I said, "This is another man. It's another human being." That was back when he lived a rough life. He was an angry-looking, evil-looking guy. Today, I mean, man, he looks like a saint of God, and that's not an exaggeration. So here were these men whose faces had to be contorted and twisted, and they were angry and they were frightful and they put fear into people, terrorized people. But now, an absolute transformation. Their faces would have shone. They were full of joy. They had hope. They smiled. They didn't look angry or violent anymore. People saw that and they said, "What about our pigs?" That's what they said. They didn't say, "Oof, Jesus just saved those men and transformed them and made them into useful and productive members of society, trustworthy, respectable people." They didn't give that a thought. They said, "What about our pigs?" That's what they said. And the Bible says they pleaded with Jesus to leave their region. "Would you get out of here?" So that's a fascinating thing in and of itself. They begged Jesus to leave. Oh, societies do that. Families do that. Universities do that. People do that. Firms and businesses do that. They say to Jesus, "We don't want you around here. We want you gone." No question about it. Bars and nightclubs. "No, no, don't want Jesus here. You're out." And they beg him to leave. But these were people who should have known better. People now, individuals. And they said, "Go away and don't come back. What about our pigs?" It's really interesting, isn't it? They lost their livelihood, at least their pig farming business, and they blamed God for their loss. Was Jesus responsible for their loss? No. Now you're going to say, "But wait a second, he was the one who told the demons that they could go into the pigs." Now, there's nothing to say they wouldn't have done that anyway. They may have done that anyway. Even though Jesus gave them permission, it wasn't Jesus who led the piggies down the hillside and into the lake to their demise. It was the devil. Everybody agrees with that. It was demons who rushed the pigs down the hillside and into the waters of the Sea of Galilee. And yet God got the blame. Your insurance company probably insures you against an act of God. Homes, that is, an act of God. So, a tornado, act of God. Hurricane, act of God. Is a flood an act of God? That may be different to the insurers, I don't know. An act of God, that was not an act of God. You're giving God the blame for something that the devil does. Yeah, but God could have stopped it. Yes, doesn't mean he caused it. It means he simply did not act to prevent it. Oh, you don't like the sound of that? Well, I'd like you to think about how God protected you on the roads yesterday, and how you don't have cancer, and how your diabetes is cleared up, and how when that angry person didn't like the way you looked at them, they went in another direction. God intervened to spare you. When you're about to make a cataclysmic financial decision that would have brought ruin to your family or to your business, God intervened, something happened, you didn't make that decision, God did great things. So don't be saying God doesn't intervene, he intervenes all the time. Why does he not always intervene? I don't know. We'll get to ask him one day. But the problem is when people start blaming God for what the devil does. No, God did not take away your wife. He did it. Why did he allow it? That I don't know. But he was good enough to give you a wife that you love, obviously, and then miss. So instead of belly aching about God taking away the blessing, you are going to instead thank God that he gave you that great blessing and that one day in eternity, you can hold her hand again. See what I'm saying? Let's not blame God. It's small. It's intellectually dishonest. It's kind of lazy. And it's terrible, terrible theology. The Bible says God is love. The Bible says God is faithful. The Bible says God is merciful. The Bible says God is good. He is all those things. The people of that area said, "Go away. We don't want you here. You cause problems." Jesus doesn't cause problems. Jesus causes solutions. And I hope you'll allow him to be the solution to all of your challenges today. Great to see you. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you, Pastor John.
Amen. And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. Now, don't forget to visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to learn more about what we have going on.
And be sure to come back tomorrow. We will have music, a healthy recipe, another episode of Reflections of Hope, and Faith for Today will share a devotional with us. We can't wait to see you back here tomorrow morning. And if you enjoyed today's message, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides designed with you in mind.
Again, that's hope.study. You will be blessed and very encouraged. Now, before we go, we have a Bible promise just for you, and it's found in Matthew chapter 24, verse 13.
but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved.
Powerful. I love that promise. It's a beautiful reminder that God longs to save you and me. No matter what you face in this broken world, trust in His promises. Draw near and near to Him, and then stand firm in your faith. And listen, when you do, you're going to be sure that you have that sweet assurance that you belong to Jesus, and He has promised to endure you, to carry you until the very end. Friends, this has been great. Thank you, Hannah. It's been a great day.
Thank you.
We hope you have a wonderful Wednesday. Have a great bow tie day. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for being so good to us. Thank you for just the spiritual blessings that you have poured into our lives already today. And so we pray that you would take us from here with courage. And we thank you so much for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.